we're supposed to be talking about some student-made documentaries. We have some guests in the studio, but the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yeah, one of our guests, Steve Douglas, has the same name. This is not the reason you're here, Steve, although I would book you just for this alone. You have the same first and last name as Fred McMurray's character from My Three Sons, and I pointed that out to you, and you said there were two other series from around that time where Douglas was the last name, the family name. Green Acres is one, Oliver Douglas.
Oliver. Albert.
Very nice. That was Wendy's Ivanka Trump impression. And I'm stuck on the last one, and it's driving me crazy.
Well, good luck. I'm not going to give it to you.
You won't give it to me?
I'm sure somebody's going to call and hook you guys up. But yeah.
Oh, my God.
No,
wait, someone has stumped Bill Leff? Your life is not so perfect anymore, is it?
No, it's not. I will not rest until I get it.
You'll get it, I'm sure.
Sam Westman is also here. He does not have the name, first or last, of anybody from TV's history, and yet we'll still talk to you.
But I am operating under a pseudonym today.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. That's better. Antifa.
His real name, John Wayne.
Antifa, who only has one name. What happened?
Yes, I don't know. It's just stuck. No, that's just, you know, name I go by.
That's excellent. That's excellent. You're here to talk about Chicago Summer Stories. Let's get right to the root of it. What exactly is Chicago Summer Stories?
Yeah, it's a really unique opportunity that we've been able to do with Apple, where we've brought 12 students from the suburbs and CPS together to be able to create documentaries around things that really matter in Chicago to them. And so they picked Generation Z, their own generation. So 15 to 25 year olds is kind of what we designated with it, kind of figuring out what is it that they care about most and what's really kind of separated them from the previous generations.
Yeah.
All right. Forgive me for not knowing this, but this is Generation Z. That's what's going on right now. Am I late to the party? Is that truly what, you know, there were baby boomers, there were Gen X?
Yeah.
The millennials. So trying to separate themselves from millennials is really what this is about, because they don't want to be thrown under that bus.
So what categorizes somebody who is Generation Z? What are the qualifications?
Basically, you're age 15 to 25 years old.
Yeah. I have two Generation Zs then.
Excellent.
Good luck. No, I'm done.
But what is the difference between Generation Zs and millennials and who was Gen X? I mean, it's a different breed of kid now, isn't it?
Well, definitely. That's what they're doing in the documentary, is defining what makes them unique and different and stand out, and how they approach life and the challenges that they see around them. So I would say come out to our screening.
Absolutely.
August 9th and see.
The Apple Store.
Yes.
At the Apple Store, Michigan Ave,
6:30.
It's going to be really, really
cool. Down the road a piece.
The kids have interviewed 20-plus folks, influencers in Chicago, to tell the story of innovation, activism, and kind of art, music, and kind of the collaboration within that social community, and how that's kind of given rise to a lot of different voices in Chicago.
Do me a favor. Go back to a word you just used, influencers, because that's a fairly new concept.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does an influencer mean?
Great question. And I would say asking the kids what they would say is somebody who spans everything from taking things in social media. In fact, I talked to a student earlier today, and they said, you know what? What are they about? And they're like, you know what? They've really made their way in social media. I'm like, okay, but like, what do they do?
Yeah.
No, they do social media.
That's
really?
It.
Like, what does that mean?
That's
exactly?
All you need
it's a
to
job
do.
Now.
It is. And so they're like, well, she takes different beats from other people and then kind of raps over them. This is Nia Kay here in Chicago. And she just kills it. She's got 1 million followers.
And
you're
posts
like,
it.
Wow, 1 million followers. Well, just doing that.
What's interesting about all that is this generation actually has the tools and opportunity to tell their story in a way that our generations and previous never did. The tools are so there where they can just grab whatever they have in a microphone and an iPhone. They shot all of these things on iPhones.
Unreal.
So they shot all the documentaries with stuff they could have in their pocket. Like, I have this little boom pole and he has the rig over there, and it's like nothing, and you can make a 4K movie. Whereas with us, we thought that was impossible, and so they just have a direct source to an audience, and it's fascinating.
And that's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. We were talking about this. We've talked about it many times. We are lucky enough to be on the radio, so we're able to tell our story. Prior to Facebook, people couldn't speak out and tell their story. Completely different time right now, and quite honestly, there are some stories we don't need to hear.
Yeah.
That's the problem, and it's the benefit and the problem, but I think maybe what's going to happen is once we actually hear everybody's story, we'll start to learn a little bit of discernment, and that's the idea. And also, we'll probably all get better at telling our stories the more that we have the opportunity to do so.
Sam, how do filmmakers and documentarians of a generation or so ago feel about the new technologies? Are they jealous of it? Do they say, oh, man, if I had all this at my fingertips, I would have made so much more stuff, better stuff?
I think it depends more on the individual. Like, I made a documentary. I got paid to make a documentary in SD, which is like 1/20th of what the 4K iPhone in your pocket has.
Standard definition, is that what that is?
Yeah, but the thing of it is I got paid to do that then, and I can get paid to do this now. And I think really the thing that everybody should realize is that the technology is still there. Where do you as an individual bring value to it? And that is the thing, and your expertise and ability to tell a story is the thing that can't be taught. And I think the technology just opens up more doors, because like I run a company where like there's more video jobs and more jobs in the creative arts around the country and around the world than there ever have been in the past. So the reality is, when I was coming in, I could only work in New York or Los Angeles in the film industry. Now I can work anywhere in the world. And I think that's interesting.
That is interesting. And radio has changed too, going from analog and editing with splicing tape and a block and a razor blade. Yep. And now everything's digital. So,
and going to podcasts, and people have opportunity, but there's so much noise out there. So how do you differentiate that? It's the storytelling. And so that's really what we focused on with the kids, is how can you tell your story to your specific audience and really make them connect, resonate, think, laugh, cry, whatever it is that you're trying to. That's the real art in this, and it's an iterative element. So we've taken them through multiple different times and lots of different interviews to kind of teach them by doing. And so it's been a really experiential time, and it's been a lot of fun watching.
And you mentioned earlier, too, protest, music. Look at what today is bringing us. You have Lollapalooza kicking off. Yeah. You have this protest march on Lakeshore Drive. Yep. This is what's happening now, and these kids are covering this.
It's real time, right? And you can go out with your iPhone or smartphone and just document this. And you have an opportunity to be able to share that story that, unlike previous generations, they could.
Amazing.
I think what's coming up now is the technology is forcing people to be authentic in a way that they haven't had to before. Yeah. And the people who have the most authenticity are the ones who are rising.
Yeah. All right, we will discuss this further. Steve Douglas is here, Sam Westman is here, and Tifa is here. If you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Bill, I am, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN, and I am shocked as heck that you can concentrate on this interview.
Yeah.
Boy, everybody just reached for their phone when that went off.
All right, one of our guests, Steve Douglas, as I pointed out at the beginning of the interview, has the same name as Steve Douglas from My Three Sons. And I pointed that out to him. You know, we were bonding, Wendy. He was excited. I was excited. So then he said there were two other series back then in the 60s. In the 60s or 70s, did you say? That Douglas was also the surname. I got one right away. That's Green Acres. Oliver Douglas.
Yep.
He had the same name. But I cannot get the third one, and it is driving me crazy.
I like to see this, quite honestly. I love to see you squirm.
I'll get it.
We're talking about what I thought was just a documentary, but three documentaries all put together, Chicago Summer Stories. Steve Douglas, I'm not going to go into the whole connection. Yeah, whatever.
Can I give you a hint? Do you want a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint.
There is a connection to a patriarch within the name of the sitcom. All right, keep going.
All right.
Director of Chicago Summer Stories, teacher of new media at Lake Forest High School, Sam Westman, co-director of Chicago Summer Stories, and also Tifa is with us. And Tifa, correct?
Yeah,
okay. And you're a teacher?
Yeah.
I didn't know that we got into what you do.
Yes, I'm an educator at CPS.
What you mentioned that I find interesting is you have suburban kids and Chicago kids getting together. That's awesome in itself.
It definitely is, because they come from very different backgrounds. And, you know, they have to work together in a team. And I think that their experiences are different, and they're forced to kind of collaborate. And it's important that each of them tell the stories that they want to tell authentically, you know, unbiased, not just from their perspective, but from the truth of the person that they're talking to. So it's very interesting to watch them go through the process and be creative and, you know, learn to communicate with each other, especially with something that you're so passionate about.
And like, so different.
Very passionate about it.
I mean, when you listen to someone else's story and they have kind of the same goal but a different way of getting there, mm-hmm. isn't that when you realize we're all the same?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, that has been really fun to see. So we started them off with a 48-hour kind of challenge to kind of go tell whatever story you wanted to under 2 minutes. And so you get to really see what they're interested in and where they're really strong, but then also kind of where they could grow. And that was where we kind of sat together and mm-hmm. built these groups very strategically for that, to figure out how can we develop that kind of bond, but then also challenge, and who's going to be able to push who. And so it's been really fun to be able to see their growth.
I know it's too early to determine this yet, but do you see a future for any or some of these kids going, we love this experience, we really want to continue? Good.
I'll say with the group that I've worked with directly, I've had to take them around, you know, to meet different influencers in and throughout the city, and they're already creating projects on their own on the side to build relationships and, you know, just to hone their craft and learn more and just create more and produce more outside of what they're already doing within the program. And then you see them applying what they're learning within the program. Yeah. So, you know, it's no telling where they will end up, especially with the access, you know, through the technology, because it's all at their fingertips these days. You don't need a huge rig. You know, they're nice, but it's also easier to move around when you're talking about being able to shoot this high-quality video on an actual iPhone.
And one of the biggest benefits is the collaborative effort. Nobody can do one of these on their own, or maybe you could, but you really benefit from having so many people work on it, and that's an invaluable skill, isn't it?
You know what? One of the cool stories about that, Apple connected us with Juice WRLD, who's an artist from the South Side who's 19, and they were promoting him and at the Concord Theater. And so through the connections with Apple Music, they gave the kids all access. And so they were there shooting with the iPhone, like in the pit, and they were shooting the whole entire thing. And one of the kids was like, hey, do you think I can get on stage? I'm like, oh, you know, some 16-year-old, like, don't ask that question. And of course, they were like, yeah, let's figure it out. And I was like, okay. And so here he was, literally on stage at this concert with all of his peers, like, in the audience. And there he is, like, shooting this thing. And then he just walked backstage because he owned the place. And then he got an interview with the artist. It was just, like, stuff that we never would even dream to do. They were like, let's do it. And that was incredible. And then they put this whole thing together, and it was just like,
this is really awesome.
In a week, literally, they put that together and sent it to Apple, and they were like, wait, who produced this? Like, really? What's going on? I mean, it's really incredible stuff.
And, you know, I have two teenage boys, and, you know, we always criticize them. You're spending too much time with technology. But this is taking something that they're into and making it productive. Isn't that a great way to utilize what's going on right now?
You know, that makes me think about my classroom. I teach broadcast tech for CPS, and you know, throughout most schools within CPS, it's the no phones in school rule, because it is a distraction, and it can be if it's not used properly. And I think about those lessons where I'm like, okay, you can use your phone. Phone's out. Shh. We're shooting, we're taking, you know, I want to see what you can go grab. We're going to do a scavenger hunt, you know, with your phones, learn to work the camera, learn to upload, import the footage, and, you know, do what you can with it. So I think that it's just about giving them the right direction with the technology, and it's going to bring them that much closer to learning, that much more excited about what they can do with it and what they actually can accomplish and turn into a career.
Yep. And making a movie teaches you project management. So,
absolutely.
Like, you've got to go book the place, you got to book the guests, make sure all this happens on time, you got to manage a crew, you got to put all of these pieces together and assemble it back, and then if you don't bring it in right, or you did something wrong, you don't get a do-over from that day. So it teaches you to be present and accountable for what's going on, and to create and finish a project that you're going to show to somebody. So there is a degree of self-esteem involved in the finished product, which means that you have to develop a work ethic if you want to turn something out.
Absolutely.
When I went to film school, we all wanted to be Scorsese or Spielberg. Yep. Quentin Tarantino was just coming up. Do these kids look at those directors as their heroes, or are they looking at people using similar platforms as their heroes?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. YouTube stars, is that what they're looking at?
Yes.
Are
they? Those are their, you know, mentors. That's who they look up to. Like, and really, I look at a lot of the traditional, what do I want to say, composition techniques and things like that we use, they're so left of that. You know, they're really about being creative, being out the box, and being totally different, you know, with what they create.
So,
they definitely don't.
You know, you mentioned self-esteem, Sam, when you were talking about when the final product is there. Isn't that what feeds kids today anyway, is their self-esteem and being accepted by others?
Well, it's a way for them to be able to connect with a broader audience, right? And to be able to get authentic feedback with that. There's definitely some issues with trolls and YouTube, and there's other elements of that. But if you take that concept you were talking about before, of taking them from consuming to creating, that then kicks in all the intrinsic motivation that Tifa was talking talking about, and really gets them to think beyond just, oh, I'm on Snapchat, I'm just consuming. And it's what's really cool about this is we've seen that kind of iteration happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what this goal is really to show that people can use those phones, and they don't have to be thrown away. Mm-hmm. They can use those
for
what
good,
they're using
not
all
for
the
evil.
Time for constructive use.
Right.
And to be able to reflect. And so we're also having them go through a whole reflection process where they're capturing and documenting their own story to be able to then communicate to college about this program, to communicate about their career,
right.
to be able to capture these things. And that's really where we're going with all of this, mm-hmm. is the next level, is for them to be able to get to that reflective mindset, which they all are as a generation, but giving them that structure and that process and mentorship, that's what we're doing here.
What do they have to do to realize that a 2-minute piece is fantastic, but a feature length, a 90-minute, isn't that big of a jump? I mean, it is, but at the same time,
it's
isn't, right?
It's the core concepts. It's all yep. the same when you boil it down. If you can do a 2-minute piece really, really well, you
yeah.
just need more time to do a 90-minute piece.
Yeah.
But what a lot of this stuff teaches them is basically if you can communicate through video, it's really no different than a blog if you think about it. And in fact, you can reach a lot more people, because if you think about the moving image and as a piece of video, how that crosses language barriers, if you can communicate effectively through video, you can communicate with anyone in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing that we should keep in mind, is we're used to writing and doing all these blogs and things, but the amount of people you can reach through properly told and created video is staggering.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you the coolest teachers in your kids' eyes everywhere?
Yeah, because I'm not.
I just want to piggyback what Sam said too, and there's definitely a pre-production process that we go through with them, ideation process, where they're getting their ideas out, they're writing them down, they're listening to each other. For a lot of them, it's kind of starting at the end and identifying what's the message, what's the emotion that people need to feel, and when, and how do we, what's the best way to communicate that visually, you know. So there's a literacy component too, because mm-hmm. they have to be able to not only articulate verbally with the people within their group, but they have to be able to write that those thoughts down and then turn them into visuals.
And that's one of the coolest part, real quick, is when we then give feedback as well. So then they
sure.
have to receive as well as give feedback to everybody
yeah.
else. So you have to be open-handed, constructive. I mean, that's when it gets real. Because that's when it's like, okay, all right, you know, are you going to take that? Are you going to get better? Or are you going to take it and run in the corner?
That's when you get better.
That's
when
it.
You
that's
take
it.
Criticism and
yes.
use it to your
and
advantage.
And you get a thicker skin. And, you know, because when you put your work out there into the world, people are going to think things about it no matter what. You might as well get the in-person feedback of
yeah.
your peers to teach you to, like, get a sense of empathy when you get out in the world, as you just throw your stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. August yeah. 9th is the night you can see this, Chicago Summer Stories. It's at the Apple Store on Michigan Avenue. It's a 6:30 start. People can still get tickets. Tickets are still available.
It's free to come.
It's
so, yeah.
free.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Can't
in fact, we encourage folks to come in. Yeah, it's a 23-foot, 5K, 6K screen, so
oh,
it's going to be
enormous.
Fun.
Enormous.
And
nice.
If we can't make it, is there a place we can see this later on?
Yep, so there's going to be a link, I believe you guys are going to post, where you can see the videos afterwards through Apple's site. So
excellent.
We're super excited about this. It's just the beginning. This is the first year we've done it, and we hope to continue this going forward.
Tifa, thank you for being here. Sam, thank you for being here. Steve, I give up. What is the third?
Father knows best.
Oh.
No, their last name wasn't Douglas.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Here
this is where it's just about
okay.
to get
all right, to the phone
Douglas
we go.
Here
we
go.
What was it?
Anderson.
Wow.
I was Anderson. I think Anderson's right.
Steve, if you're not challenged, you're not learning anything.
Or you fail quickly. Or I just fail quickly. One of the two. So we're demonstrating
no, see,
what we're
this
talking
criticism
about.
Only makes you stronger and better,
that's
Steve.
It, right?
That's
right.
You'll be a better
just,
person for
know.
It. All right, we'll take a quick break.
You know what? I'm kind of glad you're wrong, Steve, because all my money's on Bill all the time.
That's smart. That's a smart play.
Thanks, guys. I still want people to come to the event. I would never hold it. I would never hold this over your heads. We'll take a
yes,
quick
break. Yes, you will.
We'll
the rest of the day.
That's okay.
And then more shows. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you.